Well, you guys all know by it all, so. Good morning. Welcome to the Great Mission Community Church. I am Jonathan Thornton. I'm the mission pastor here. I've been away a couple of weeks going down to council, which is our denomination, the Christian Mission Alliance, is every other year big kind of conference. It was wonderful. God was really there. Just so you know, if you go to the Alliance website, you can actually check out all the things that were presented there, all the different sessions and seminars and things that they videotaped, and there's some great stuff there for you to check out. I also want to thank you, as I think was mentioned last week, if you wouldn't know this information. Remember, actually about a month ago now, we took out a special offering for the Intervention Training Center, which is our partners in the Alliance Mission's work going on in Cambodia. And I just want you to know we raised almost $20,000 as a church. And the more important thing is that money, while not enough to finish the entire building, was enough to finish the top two floors, which will enable them to open the school on time this August. So that is great news. So yes, it's good stuff. So just thank you for following what the Lord has asked you to do and giving to that and joining us in that stuff. So thank you. I've always liked amusement parks and rides, and people like different kinds of rides. Some people like, you know, ones that don't make you move at all, and it's nice and calm, and I think that would be my wife. She doesn't like heights, so if it goes up, she doesn't like that. I'm more the opposite. My favorite ones are like the Tower of Doom, you know, the ones that they all call different names. Basically, you go up, and then you're really, really high. You can see like the entire park, and without warning, it just drops you. And you fall like 300 feet in like a second, and your heart feels like, and your stomach is like out of your head now. Just, you know, it's gone. I love it. I can't get enough of it. And the other day I was on my phone, and I was just, you know, there's the news feed or whatever, and I was looking through it, and I saw like a video for this really cool looking, like Tower of Doom ride thing that looked like a, you know, like one of these, you know, the rides that had the swings where you would swing like this. It looked like the Tower of Doom would drop you and you would be swinging, and all these cool things were happening. And I was looking at this, going, wow, that looks so amazing. Where is that? I want to go. And then the next day, I was looking on my news feed, and it was like, hey, by the way, that video that's gone viral about that really cool-looking Tower of Doom ride thing, it's not real. And I was like, what? And it was just totally somebody had CGI'd it and faked it, and it wasn't a real thing at all. And I was like, yeah, okay. Oh, well, there goes that thing. But it made me think that we live in a time right now where it's often very difficult to know what is actually true, and what we're being presented with is the right thing. And so today we're going to take a look at that. How do we know what is right? How do we know if what we're hearing is really from God? And so we're going to take a look in 1 John. We're actually going to pick it up in chapter 4, verse 1. And so we're going to be there. Before I, if you turn there in your Bible or on the device, I just want to give you a brief background here. As we've been in this series for a while now on 1 John, John here is kind of giving reminders to the church. He's not presenting these things as like, this is the first time you've heard this. He's presenting it in a way of, hey, you already know this, but let me come to you and remind you and refresh you about what you already know. One thing in particular is that during this time period in history, when John is actually writing these letters to the churches, there was actually several different groups of heresy. Basically, teachings that did not line up with the truth of who Jesus is, who God is, and the gospel. And so they had different groups of heretical teaching that were actually abounding, that were gathering followers, that people were going to and saying, oh, this is what it means to follow God. This is the right way to follow Jesus. And so those kind of hysterical teachings were around, and they existed, and people knew of them, and they knew of their teaching. And so in kind of that context, John picks it up here in verse 1 of chapter 4, and he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and are therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So, as I mentioned, here he is, writing to these people, trying to remind them, and there's all this hysterical teaching that's going on, all these different ideas of what it means to follow Jesus. And so he's saying, first of all, he's like, hey, let me just take a side. Because if you've been following in the series, or if you read back, a lot of this is about how we're supposed to show love to people. And there's kind of feels like every other word sometimes is something about love. But here's this little aside, and John's taking the time to say, test the spirits. What he's saying is, test what is said to you. Test what is around you. Test to make sure that the messages that you're hearing and receiving are actually from God. All right? And so when it comes to us understanding that what we're hearing and receiving is actually from God, I just want to put out there for us, the first thing you've got to do is to test, to be alert. I say that because if we're not even alert, if we're not even looking to test what we're receiving or hearing, then we're going to be duped by everything that's out there. I'm mindful of some of my kids, and especially one of my sons. He'll come back from school, and he will constantly say, hey, did you know this? And then he'll tell me some story that is ridiculous, that I'm like, that is not true. But he tells me, no, it's true. And I'm like, why? Because my friend said so. And I'm like, yeah, no, nobody lives on the moon right now. Martians don't exist. Like, it's things like that. But it is like, buddies, come on, you gotta like actually bring some credibility here. Think about what he's saying. Does it match up with anything in reality? And he's growing in that. But my point is this: if we are people who are never looking to test, we're not kind of on the alert to say, hey, what is somebody saying, or what is the message that I'm receiving? Does it actually line up with Scripture? Is it from God or is it not? Then the reality is you are being influenced all the time by messages. I mean, think about this. We live in a time where you are constantly being barraged and bombarded with all kinds of messages. In movies, in shows, in advertisement. Even if you don't really watch TV, you walk around, you see billboards, there's things, and all those things have messages to say. Things are trying to sell you. Things are trying to get you to believe about your life, about who you are, and how you should live. And if we aren't sitting here thinking, wait, I need to be alert for what is coming at me, to test it, to see, is that actually true? Is that actually what God would say? Is that the way that God would have me to live? If I'm not at least aware that I need to be aware and be alert and be testing, you've kind of already lost the battle. Because it's going to be coming in, and you will not be thinking through, hey, where did that thought come from? You'll think, hey, maybe that's just my thought. This is just the way the world is, when really it was outside influences coming in saying, this is what it's supposed to be. This is what it looks like. For instance, just, car commercials. If you don't think anything about car commercials, then you're going to get from car commercials that really, if you're going to be successful or be anybody, then you've got to have a Mercedes or a Lexus or whatever the current car commercial is. And if you don't have those things, and you just got a comforter like I usually have, then it's easy to take from that without thinking about it. Man, my life sucks. Like, I don't have a fancy car. I don't have these things. I must not be successful. I must be doing something wrong. I need to go change my life. Now, often we're not thinking that in those exact words, but if we're not alert and testing what we are receiving, the messages that are bombarding us, then it is easy for those things to kind of birth feelings within us that do not align up with God, because the message did not line up with God. And so, be alert. Be testing. Don't just take everything you hear. In fact, I want you to be aware of this. The reality is this, is that I'm a pastor. I'm up here preaching. We have other people come up here and preach. You should not just be assuming that because I'm standing up here that everything I'm saying is true. If you do, then you're missing the point. Because if you just think, oh, whatever Jonathan says, then I got to take that to the bank and I can follow that. Well, hopefully, yes, I'm sitting here. Obviously, I'm the one saying it. Hopefully, what I'm saying is from God and is true. But if you're not testing what I'm saying, then how do you know? And what if all of a sudden I start to believe false things, and then I get up here and I start telling you those things, that, oh, okay, well, Jonathan said it, so it must be true. And no. We are to test. We are to be alert. We are to watch out so that we are not led astray. In John's time, he even said it here, and it's still a true statement. There are many false prophets that are out there. People who have said, this is the way to go, and they will lead you astray. And the reality is we actually live in an increasing time, especially in the United States, where many, many people who are supposed leaders of the church have decided to walk away from the true teachings of Christ and will lead you away from what it means to really follow God. And if we aren't testing, we will fall. Blindly, happily, into heresy. Into ways that God does not intend for us to go. And so you have to take. The next thing we can see here is when he says, this is how you will know we recognize the Spirit. Everyone that recognizes the Spirit of God is come in the flesh. The reason that what John is talking about this is also that a lot of the heresies that were being propagated at this time actually specifically had to do with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which means that Jesus, who was fully God, came to earth, became fully man. And so that God became fully man, which is something that we like know the words, but it's something really hard for us to grasp. And so a lot of these heresies were basically preaching other things, like he was God, but he wasn't fully man, or he was man, but he wasn't fully God, and all kinds of variations on that were out there. And so when John is saying this, he's really saying, come back to the heart of the gospel. Of what we taught you, that Jesus was fully God and fully man, and this is where it is, this is the gospel, this is the true teaching of who it is, and so you must acknowledge this. And if anything does not acknowledge what you've already been taught of the gospel, of who Christ is, then that is how you know it is not of God. And so for us, what helps us in this is this. We have the scriptures, we have the Bible, we have the words of God written down for us. So, when you're testing, that is what you're testing against. You're testing the spirits. You're testing the words that are coming out. You're testing anything you hear or receive or see. You are testing them against the Word of God. That is to be the benchmark. That is the what everything comes against. It is the Word of God. And so for you, when you're thinking, hey, does this make sense? Does this line up? The test is not just, hey, do I like that? Or does that make sense to me? Or using my brain, is that logical? No, the test is, does that line up with what I see written in the Bible? Does it match? Does it connect? Because if it doesn't connect, and it doesn't match, then you know, well, that's not from God. It's really kind of simple, but here's the problem. For many, many of us, we don't know what this says very well. Sorry, it's a swan party. Really, I've read this one a little bit. All right. But if I'm to test everything I'm receiving, every message, every word, even words of friends, even pastors, then you have to know, I have to know what the word's actually saying here. I have to know the Bible. It has to be a part of me. It has to be so a part of me that when I'm watching TV and something is there and something stirs in my spirit that's telling me something that's not really of God, that makes me feel bad, it makes me feel miserable, or entices me to live a different life, that the Word of God can come out of me and says, that's not true. It's not right, it's not godly, and it's not how God would have me to live. the Word of God. It's not just about, you know, 15 minutes of reading. It's not a checklist. Yeah, I grew up in the church, okay? And there have been definite seasons of my life, especially as I started growing in the faith, of like, okay, I'm supposed to, you know, read the Bible every day and pray every day, and then I'll grow. You know, that's not right back in the day. The reality is, it's not necessarily true. If you just read this a little bit here and there and hope that all of a sudden you're going to really know the Word of God, that may happen, but it really may not. And my, one of my questions for today is this: do you know the Word of God? Do you personally know the Word of God? So much so that it's in you. I don't mean just like a memorization thing where you can quote to me scripture. I mean so much so that when life comes at you, that your response flows out of the very words of God. Is it in you? Do you know His word? Because if His word is not in you, then how are you testing anything? What I really put to us today is, if the Word of God is not in you, if you do not know the Word of God, then even if you are testing, you are not testing it by the Word of God. You're testing it by your own, you're something else, your own smarts. Maybe the community idea. And this is dangerous. Because at any point in time, a whole community of people, it's very possible for their own desires or understandings to say, you know what, we've decided that what it says in the Bible doesn't mean that anymore, and we're going to say this is the way to go. And if you just say, oh, that's fine, you'll be caught right up in it. You have to know the Word of God. You have to know what He's saying. So that you will be able to test and know what is right and what the Lord is saying. And this isn't, like I said, just about a checklist or just about doing the right thing. In that sense, I'm actually really talking about your, when he's saying this, it's an idea of your whole life, the decisions you make, who you are as a person. These are big kind of picture ideas of your identity, of who you are, needs to flow out of where God, what God has said to you, and who God needs you to be, not whom the world wants you to be, and what the world's messages are. The only way that I know of to really combat all those messages out there, all the really nasty things that people can say to you, is this. It's the Word of God. I want to give us a challenge today. I think for many of us, part of the problem is we're on this way too much. For any of you who don't see what this is, it's a phone. Okay. We spend hours a day on me. And if we're lucky, most of us spend 15 minutes a day in here. I'm saying us, because I'm not excluding myself from this, okay? But this is a problem. Because you know what we're getting through our phones? All the messages of the world. All bombardments. Every day. And then we wonder why it's hard for us to feel like we know who God is or what He's asking us to do. Because we've become saturated with other voices and other messages, and we don't test them with the Word of God. We don't know. It's time to know His Word so that we can test. In Romans chapter 12, that he says, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind so that you will be able to test and approve God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you feel like you can't understand God's will, you can't test it, the scripture is very clear. You give yourself to Him. You allow Him to transform you. You allow Him to renew your mind as you're studying His Word, as you're in His presence, and He will make His will clear to you. you will know, as it says here, you will be able to tell which spirits are from God and which are not. It's not like rocket science. It's not magic. It's spending time with your maker, with your Lord, the one who is good, like you just think about. But we have to make that decision. Know His word. Flow from that place. So that no matter what anybody says, you can know, yeah, that's from God. That's right. My hope for any church I'm ever a part of is that you're all sitting there listening to me, and if I say something that's not from God, then you can all go, that wasn't right. Because you know God's word. I think one of the main reasons that this is a major problem for a lot of us is that we honestly actually don't really believe the last thing, which is, he says, you and your children, in verse 4, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. In the end of chapter 3, it says, those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. In chapter 3, it also says that we are children of God. All of this is saying this, is that when you decide to follow Jesus, right, you decide, Jesus is the Son of God, he came and he died for my sins, I'm going to acknowledge that, I'm going to give you my life, and I'm going to follow you, God, because you are my Savior. The Bible says that we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is equally God as Jesus and God the Father. You receive God into your life. And you become a new creation. In 2 Corinthians, it actually says that the old is gone, the new has come. Because we're in Christ now, we are new creations. But do we get that? See, I think the problem is that a lot of us, we hear that. We either hear, you know, Pastor Carl's here preaching about children of God last week, if you were here last week, and that is who we are. And I think a lot of us are like, yeah, we're children of God. And I get that, we're children of God, but I don't think it really sinks in. Because, see, I think part of the problem is this, is that if we don't really get that we have been made new, that we have been given the Holy Spirit to be in us, to help us to understand the Bible, to help us to interpret all the messages that are coming at us, then we don't feel like we are worthy or have the capacity to actually test and approve anything. Because we're just a person. We're just a dude. What do I know? I haven't been to Bible school. How can I know anything? That's completely unbiblical and false. The Bible says you have been given the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The maker of the universe, of everything, is in you, ready to help you to test and approve, to fuel you with all of his gifts, all of his spirit. He is there for you. But do you believe it? I mean, like, in your gut, do you believe that you are somebody who has the power of God in your life, who can look at a situation, be listening to God, having known his word, and say, that is from God, or that is from the world, or from Satan? Do you have that confidence? And I think most of us don't. I think most of us are looking to somebody else to tell us what is true. But that's not what John says here. He's reminding his church to say, church, you know what is true. You have the Holy Spirit. Test. By his word. So that you can live the lives that God has for you. So that you don't walk off on a path that God has not intended for you. But do you believe? Because in my experience, when you don't believe it, nothing really changes. There was a movie years ago, The Matrix. Actually, just for my own curiosity, have you seen The Matrix? Raise your hand. Oh, good. I was wondering if nobody would have seen it or not. Doesn't make me feel old anymore. Good. Not that I'm old anyway, but But in the Matrix, if you've seen or not seen it, they're basically the premise is they're stuck in this kind of post-apocalyptic machine time. But in this place called the Matrix, humans are trying to escape and get out. And there's this one guy, Neo, who's called the One, and he has like superpowers. He's like better than Superman, right? He can do whatever he wants, pretty much. And they find him and they tell him, "Hey, you're the One. Like, you are so powerful, you can do anything." But he's like, he was living like a normal dude. He's like, "No, I don't. No, that's not happening." But even as they tell him, he starts to think, "Well, maybe it's true." But he can't really do anything better than anybody else. And in that movie, there's these like bad guys that are like called agents, and they can move super fast and do all these really cool things. And they're not all the normal humans are told, "Hey, if you see an agent, you run, because to stand and fight an agent is to die," right? But Neo, throughout the whole movie, he's going on, and he begins to think, maybe there's something to this being the One thing. And there's this one scene at the point where they rescue this one guy, and he's standing there, he's looking at an agent, and he has a chance to run, or even fight. And he stops, and he turns, and he decides to fight the agent, which everybody knows is a death sentence. And then all the other like humans out, like they're like over here looking at what's happening, like, why isn't he running? And the other guy, whose name is Morpheus, he goes, he's beginning to believe. And he turns around, and he beats the agent. See, if you believe that you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, you really believe it, you're like, if you believe it, then the Spirit of God can flow through you to do more than you could ever hope or imagine, because He wants to. Not just so you can do whatever you want, but so you, in the power and the anointing of His Holy Spirit, as you abide in Him and He is abiding in you, that you can ask whatever He wishes in His name and He will give it to you. Do you believe that? We've heard it because we, beginning of this year, we talked about abiding in Christ. This is not a new theme. I'm simply here, as John was as well, to remind us, do you actually believe that you are a child of God, that you have been raised with Him to the heavenly realms, to be a co-heir with Christ? Do you believe that? Or do you just think, I'm just a dude. I don't know how I could have the authority or the confidence to test this or to know that or live my life. Because if you're living that way, then you're living alive, and you're living in bondage, and God has so much more. John says here, greater is He who is in you than he who is out. You have nothing to fear. Do you believe that? Greater is He who is in you than he who is without. The God who created everything is with Him. Do you believe that? I don't mean up here. We're like, yeah, I get it. I mean, in here, in your gut, that changes your life, that makes you move, that goes, yes, I'm a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Because if you do, and you know His word, then no matter what life throws at you, you will know what is right. You will know what is wrong. You will know God's plans for you and the enemy's wishes. And then you have to choose which one you want. But you will have known consciously God's will versus the world's will, but the enemy's will for your life. Nobody else can do this for you. I can't do it for you. your spouse or your parents or your friend, you can't do it for them. Only you can make this stand. It says, I'm a child of God. I live for Him. His words are in me. I know His word. So I can live confidently knowing this is God. This is His word. This is His way. And all of this is not. God, I just praise You and thank You that You are such a good and amazing and loving God. I praise You that You watch over us, that You died for us, that You made it possible for us to be Your children. God, I thank You that You've given us the capacity to test and approve everything, to see whether it's from You or not. God, I just ask right now that as we're sitting here, that for all of those who do not believe in their God, that they are a child of God, they have been made new, that they are a new creation, that You, O Holy Spirit, are in them, that for all of those who do not feel that, God, that right now You would make Yourself known. Just, you know, I want to encourage you where you're sitting, just in your head where you are. If that's you, just ask the Lord to make Him known to you. You just do that by saying a simple prayer, just saying, God, I need You. I don't believe this, and I want You. And in your own words, you just say something as simple as that. And You invite Him to make Himself real to you. Just ask You to do that for a second. Thank you, some of you here, you just need to be honest before the Lord and say, God, I don't know Your word. It's okay. You don't want to stay there. For some of you, I think you just need to pray the prayer that says, God, would You give me a passion, a desire for Your word? The Bible actually says that nobody seeks God on their own. That we have all fallen, that we are far from Him. So just ask for His Spirit to give you a passion for His word. And you don't do it because I'm telling you, good, do it if you really want it. And keep praying that prayer. And for some of us, or maybe all of us, even if you're in all those places, you just need to say, God, wake me up. Make me aware and alert to all that is bombarding me. Make me able and ready to test that which I hear and I receive and I see. Because I don't want to follow You. This is not like a one-time thing. I just want to encourage you, if any of these portions really stirred your spirit, if they resonated with you well this morning, I just want to encourage you. I just kind of walked you through very simply some prayers to pray. So I just want to encourage you, don't stop those prayers. If you don't feel like walking away today, you're like, I really believe now that I'm a child of God, then pray that prayer and ask the Lord, help me to believe. Make Yourself known to me. Pray it every day. Pray it multiple times a day. If you don't have a passion for His word, pray it every day. Because we want to be children of God, who follow God, who test and approve what is good, perfect, and peace in our lives. God, we just ask that You would move powerfully. And that even as we move to singing, that Your Spirit would continue to work and intercede on our behalf. God, would You make us like You? Would You make us confident of who You made us to be in Christ? We are Your children. And You love us.